This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Of course, it's been an amazing Monday. We're going to talk a little bit of presidential politics, state of the race stuff here in just a moment. We have an activist about a half hour from now. We'll do some emails. I have a voicemail or two I'll probably get to. All that and so much more still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So Dome, she sat down for an interview, and I just can't explain how hard or easy an interview can be depending on who's doing the interviewing. And it looks obvious when you're watching it from the outside, but remember, I ran for Congress a couple times, and even doing this, I get interviewed on occasion, although at this point, it's nice. We don't have to talk to any of the dirty commie publications because they always reach out for something offensive I said, and we always just basically tell them to screw off. But back when you're running for Congress, you can't really do that. And when you sit down, especially if it's a seasoned veteran reporter of some kind, and they're hostile to you and hostile to your worldview, and they want to put you in bad light, they have a lot of power to do that. And vice versa, when you sit down for a friendly interview, I remember there was this one group in DC. I don't want to say the name now, but I was running for Congress. And I was a hardcore border hawk then, just same way I am now, just big on illegal immigration and legal immigration, which is something I'm hot on. So this group, that's what they're hot on. That's all they do. They had to, quote, interview all the candidates who were running in the primary before they decided who they were going to endorse and back. And I think they sent me a campaign check, too. But anyway, they had to decide who they were going to endorse and whatnot. And when I sat down with the guy whose job it was to vet all the candidates, he practically told me right off the bat, "Oh, we're gonna endorse you like in like 5 minutes. I just have to do all these questions." And the questions were all, it was practically, "Hey, Jesse, tell me why you're such a great guy." It was a loaded question. Everything was loaded for me. And obviously, as you know, I didn't have a hard time explaining to him why I'm such a great guy. What, Chris? Anyway. Dome, when she gives these interviews, these are the friendliest possible interviews. The friendliest possible interviews. And if this woman is elected president of the United States of America, she will have to make world-changing decisions. Not once either. The president of the United States of America, because of the immense power of the United States of America, routinely has to make decisions that will affect all, how many people do we have, Chris? 7 billion? All the billion people on the planet, 7 billion, whatever it is. The president of the United States of America has that weight on his shoulders, on her shoulders. I want you to keep that in mind as you listen to Kamala Harris sitting down with the friendliest interviewers humanly possible. Hey, Dome, what's your plan for the economy?
From a show to a whole entire company, what is your kind of your economic plan moving forward for people who are living paycheck to paycheck and struggling for groceries and rent and homeowners?
So, look, I grew up, so my sister and I were raised by our mother. We lived for a long time in an apartment on top of a child care center. That child care center was actually owned by a woman who lived two doors down from us, Mrs. Shelton, who was, by all of our accounts and feelings, our second mother. She helped raise us. And so she was a small business owner. So I'll start with the small business and congratulations on what you guys have done.
Thank you.
I, from a child, knew who our small business owners are, right? I mean, you're business leaders, but you're also civic leaders. You take seriously your voice and how you can mentor, how you can grow, right? Communities and the sense of communities. I love our small businesses. And so a lot of my work in terms of building and growing the economy has focused on small businesses. And my vision overall is we need to build an opportunity economy in which we increase opportunity for all, including small business owners. So a lot of my work, even in the Senate, was about increasing access to capital through our small businesses and in particular through our community banks. Mm-hmm. So I've been responsible for billions of dollars more now going into our community banks because they're in the community and then they know who's in the community and where the talent is and who's doing good mm-hmm. in the community, what the community wants.
Mm-hmm. We are in very deep trouble if that woman gets elected. Oh, and speaking of state of the race, Dome's husband is Doug. And look, part of you has to respect that man. Right. No, let me explain, Chris. Part of you has to respect a man who is willing to accept damaged goods, if you will. What, Chris? I'm just talking about nothing in particular, but not everyone has the forgiveness, the fortitude to buy a rental car. You know, the rental cars, a lot of people have used them and abused them. And look, it's been through a lot. You're not the first person to sit in that seat. It's definitely not the first person to take that thing for a spin. And it's not something I would personally do, buy a rental. But the people who do it, I respect the courage, all right? And so I guess Doug, what is his name? Ehoff, who cares what his name is. He gets respect for that. Not so much for the whole masculinity part, though.
An interesting part of how people have talked about your role here.
This is Jen Psaki in her, quote, new role. You know, she moved right from the White House into a lucrative multi-million-dollar TV deal. That's pretty much how the system works. Here she is sitting here talking to Doug.
An interesting part of how people have talked about your role here is how your role has reshaped the perception of masculinity. And I'm not sure you planned on that, but you are an incredibly supportive spouse. Has that been an evolution for you? And do you think that's part of the role you might play as first gentleman?
It's funny. I've started to think a lot about this. I've always been like this. My dad was like this.
I have no doubt he was. What's his title? The second gentleman? That alone just murders me. That just kills me. Oh, man. I really hope we don't lose to these people. Let's do some emails. Jesse, I talk to a lot of people in my job. I see the need for a leader because people are uninformed. I get a good response when I speak. Your intro into the mega donor segment helped me realize that I am the leader that needs to be more active. Thanks for the push. Yeah, we don't like hearing that, and I don't like saying it all the time because it puts a burden on people. I don't want to make your day worse. I want to make your day better. I got 15 minutes with you on the road. Hopefully we learn about some issues, learn about some dirty commies, laugh once or twice, fart sound, and send you off. But every now and then we have to have a talk about it because this is a mission, isn't it? Aren't we doing good here or trying to do good here? You probably have to take some mantle of leadership in your life because you're the hyper-informed. As you're listening to the sound of my voice right now while you cook dinner for the kids, other housewives are listening to Rihanna. As you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, as you work construction, the other guys are all listening to Mexican music. Not that there's anything wrong with that on the construction side, actually always improved my mood. As you're listening to the sound of my voice right now and you have school tomorrow, your friends are not listening to me. It's not about me, but it tells me the kind of person you are, and you are going to have to take more control over your circle and having conversations when appropriate, having conversations you don't normally have. Whatever form that takes. It doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be, hey, guys, let's have a chat. But when situations arise, when an opportunity comes up and opportunities come up, when an opportunity comes up to inform, don't sit silently. Don't sit there and brood. I know these guys don't know what they're talking about. I wish they'd just move on. Say something. Dig in. And say something. Step up and say something. You need to, all right? You need to. Hey, Jesse, I'm a new listener after hearing your especially patriotic duet with Tucker. I've taken your encouragement to heart in regards to getting involved in local level of politics. Proud to say my wife and I took our 3 and 2-year-old to a meet and greet dinner event through our town's local Republican Party. It can sometimes make you feel helpless and hopeless when looking at America's politics at a national level. But it felt empowering to get involved at a local level where average citizens' voice can still be heard and respected. I live in communist Connecticut, but at least reside in an area with a conservative state rep. Thanks for the good advice. I'm a daily listener. His name is Nick. You will find yourself enjoying your involvement, and it's rewarding, and that feeling of helplessness and hopelessness goes away once you dig in. All right, I'm moving off of it. Let's talk about them already blaming Trump for his assassination attempts. Oh, they're still going. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We have Nikki Neely coming up about 10 minutes from now. Oh, who's Nikki Neely? She is someone who chose to get involved. So we'll talk to her, find out exactly what she did. I'll get to some emails here in a moment. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave a voicemail, 877-377-4373. The New York Times said today, Trump says he's in danger, so why did he seek out the embrace of 100,000 fans? That's from a Sean McCreesh. As I have said many times before, the reaction to Donald Trump's 2 assassination attempts tells you exactly how the American media, how the system is going to talk about it when a major Republican is finally murdered in this country. And of course, that's what they want. They want Republicans murdered, silenced, intimidated. That's why nobody backed off for even 5 seconds of the "he's Hitler" rhetoric. If anything, they ramped it up after the 2 assassination attempts. Why would you ramp it up? Because that's what you want to happen. So whenever someone is finally successful killing a major Republican, whether it be Trump or someone else, the system is going to spend 24, 48 hours blaming that person, describing why that person kind of had it coming. They'll use the best language they can find to massage that the right way, but it'll be 24 to 48 hours of blaming that person, explaining why that person deserved to die anyway for being on the right, and then, boop, like that, it'll be gone from the news. Gone from the news. Donald Trump, 1 week before he was supposed to become the official Republican nominee for president, having sealed the race up, had a shooter get 148 yards away from him and take a kill shot, an accurate kill shot that would have killed him and anyone else on the planet if he doesn't turn his head at the exact moment so it grazes his ear, and the media dropped it in about a day or two, and they spent that day or two talking about how his rhetoric brought it on himself. These people, they're evil, man. They are. And you know what? A lot of this, too, is their cult programming. I'm going to play something for you really quickly here. It's going to sound weird. Just stay with me. So I was doing some digging into cults. I like that stuff. Sometimes the human mind fascinates me. And I saw this thing called the coconut cult.
August Englehart was in his early 20s when he joined the Youngborn, a cult focused on vegetarianism and nudism. In 1902, after the Jungbornn was dissolved, Engelhardt relocated to modern-day Papua New Guinea. There, he developed his own cult, the Order of the Sun, and promoted the consumption of a fruit-based diet, particularly coconuts, which he believed were special since they grew the closest to the sun. At its peak, around 30 followers joined this coconut cult. However, relying on coconuts as a primary food source led to many members' deaths. Engelhardt himself lost a lot of weight, which was compounded by a drought, and he developed various illnesses. He ultimately passed away in 1919 at the age of 43.
That's weird. Who would do that? A fruit cult? We have to eat coconuts? People did that? 30 people did that? What's a sweat lodge cult?
James Arthur Ray began promoting New Age beliefs with self-help advice. This led to him hosting several spiritual warrior events, which involved testing the participants' resolve by putting their lives in danger. In 2009, Ray brought members who paid him around $10,000 each to a retreat in Arizona. He got them inside a non-traditional sweat lodge for several hours for, quote, spiritual cleansing. As a result, 18 people suffered burns, dehydration, organ failure, and other conditions. And 3 people tragically died.
Cult. People are programmable. They are. We all are on some level. Some people are more susceptible to it than others. I want you to listen to this. This is Michael Cohen on MSNBC. Listen to the cult chants. The cult rhetoric, every single cult buzzword.
What do you think happens to you if he wins?
Well, I'm out of here. I mean, I'm already working on a foreign passport with a completely different name. I don't know how it's going to work as far as dealing with my wife and my children. I certainly don't want them moving to where I'm looking to go.
He doesn't want his wife and children to come along with him? How could you get that deranged? How could you? Listen to this. This is Sonny Hostin on The View.
I truly believe that his legacy will be etched in the history books as Washington.
How could anybody be that delusional? That she was talking about Joe Biden there. How could anybody be that delusional? Why do they keep trying to kill him? They've been programmed into a cult. Racist, misogynistic, programmed into a cult. Programmable robots. Anyway, let's talk to Nikki Neely about some local activism. And we'll get to some headlines. I didn't get to some emails in the end. Might even have a little voicemail or two still to come. Before I get to that, it would help when leaving your voicemails if you called in from a Pure Talk phone. It would help because then I know your cell phone service will be solid. Remember, when you switch to Pure Talk, this isn't some fly-by-night cell phone company where you're going to be dropping calls everywhere. You don't have to worry about switching from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. Pure Talk's on the same network, same 5G network. But when you switch to Pure Talk, you will pay significantly less. You will have incredible service. You'll deal with a company whose CEO fought for this country in Vietnam. And their customer service, they're Americans who speak English. They're so hot for America, they hire Americans. It's so nice to be understood when you're on the phone. It takes 10 minutes to switch. You can keep your phone or get a new one. I just got a new one from them. Keep your phone, keep your number, whatever. Pure Talk makes it easy and they're pleasant. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, and I am about to welcome in Nikki Neely. She is the founder and president of Parents Defending Education. Here's a little bit from Nikki.
School boards across the country cut the mics on parents who read passages from these books stating, this is inappropriate, there are children in the room. Yet those same books are being provided to children in schools. While it may seem politically convenient to scapegoat parents, I ask you to read some of these explicit paragraphs and look at these sexual images with your children or your grandchildren, and then tell your constituents whether you consider such content educational.
I love people getting involved, so I thought we should bring her on. Nikki, why'd you get involved in politics?
Well, somewhat selfishly, I have children, and I'm really frustrated at what they are learning, or conversely, what they are not learning in schools. And so I thought, you know what? If not me, then who? If not now, then when?
That's the part that I love the most, Nikki. It's not just specifically what you're doing, which I love, but I talk all the time about everyone's need, myself included, to get more local and get involved. We talk about this stuff and we think, well, my neighbor should, my husband should, my wife should, my sister should, but it's never the one in the mirror we look to, and that needs to be what we all do, correct?
Absolutely. And we want to encourage everybody. Everyone has a role to play. You could just see an article, you could see a homework assignment and pass it on to somebody, and that could be what you do. Not everybody has to go and run for Congress or governor, but everyone has a part to play in taking our schools back from these activists.
Okay, what was the spark for you? What was the thing? Because there had to be a thing that put you over the top.
So funny enough, my grandparents on my father's side actually met in an internment camp, and so I know firsthand a government that is big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take it all away. And for me, the thing that really kind of radicalized me for K-12 was back when schools were starting to reopen in 2020, I'm from Chicago, where all terrible ideas start. And there was a superintendent there who said he was going to allow black and brown children to go back to school for in-person education before white children in the name of anti-racism. And I started screaming at my computer saying, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional. And I thought, you know what? I'm married to a constitutional lawyer. We have dinner parties where we talk about the 14th Amendment. But how do we help Bob in Omaha, who doesn't know these things? How do we help average people fight back? And that's where this came from.
Okay, so what is it exactly you do at Parents Defending Education?
So I think of what we do as translating lawyer into English. People, when you think about civil rights in education, you think about campus free speech. You think about a kangaroo court on Title IX or Leah Thomas as a swimmer. You don't think, can my 8-year-old be forced to use pronouns? Should my fourth grader have to do a privilege walk? You know, people see these things, they hear these things, they're queasy, but they don't know how to get involved, because if you say the wrong thing, you might be the neighborhood QAnon guy for the rest of your life. And so we want to give people the confidence and the tools they need to get engaged. Here are questions to ask. You don't have to go in, screaming at the top of your lungs, but figure out who made these decisions and let's hold these people accountable, because they have been used to getting away with murder for decades, and that has to stop.
Have you seen gains as you've taken on this battle? Well, this war really is what it is. You win battles, you lose battles, but you always find out some things after you start wading into the muck. What have you found out so far?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is so much rot in schools, unsurprisingly. So when we launched in 2021, a lot of it was about race. It was 1619. It was Ibram Kendi. It was Robin DiAngelo. And then over the past 3 years, I mean, you and I have seen this turn into just a fire hose of information about gender, really sexualizing children from very, very young ages. But then it's interesting because we have a tip line. And since our launch, we've been getting 50 to 200 tips a week from across the country. And so it's almost like an early warning system where we can see and put together trends of where are these crazy assignments coming from? What nonprofits are pushing these? Who is funding this activism in schools? This is not organic. And to pull those threads together and then put that in front of policymakers so that Congress or state legislatures or governors or AGs can act on that, because these people are doing this to our kids with our tax dollars behind our back. So it's truly insult to injury.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it's something we talk about a lot, how much of this stuff we actually fund through government grants, government dollars. We fund so much of our own destruction. Have you gotten any kind of help from these Republican red state AGs, from Republican politicians, or has it all fallen on deaf ears except to run advertisements about it when they want to get elected again?
No, it's a good question. There certainly are some elected officials that are more brave than others. One thing we have been tracking is actually the expansion of what we call parental exclusion policies. These are school boards that have voted affirmatively to say you as a parent don't have a right to know your child's gender identity. And we know that there have been states that have been passing, you know, parental rights laws. But what happens then? And so actually in December, the governor or the attorney general in Kansas, Chris Kobach, sent a letter to all of the schools that we had identified that still had those policies in the books. And he said, my interpretation of the law is you're breaking state and federal law. And so you better get your house in order. And so we hope and we expect that there will be more officials doing that going forward. But Congress recently launched the Congressional Merit Caucus as a positive way to fight back against the insidious effects of DEI. And so I think, you know, we're continuing to educate both members and their staffs on all these issues.
Nikki Neely, Parents Defending Education. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you very much. That was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have to get involved. We have to get more involved than we are. And I'm going to keep reading the emails. I'm going to keep bringing these people on so we can discuss this. So we can, all of us, me too. I need the motivation too. On the weekends when I'm tired, I don't feel like it. After work, I need it too. Are we going to get involved? Are we going to fight back locally? Or are we going to leave it up to someone else? Anyway, I just wanted you to hear that. I also wanted you to hear this. You know how we opened up the voicemails? We opened up the voicemails, and if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can. 877-377-4373. But some of these I just shouldn't, some of these I should not play on the show.
Jesse Kelly Berger, this is Mickey. I swear this is true. On the same station I listen to you, Kamala is running ads. In one of them, she says, the middle class doesn't want to just get by. They want to get ahead. Usually she says things I can't swallow, but this is something we can wrap our hands around. If she's elected president, she'll go down on history. I mean, in history. That is all.
The voicemails were Chris's idea. I want you to know. No, don't deny it now, Chris. Don't try to wash your hands of this after the fact. They were Chris's idea. I walked in about a month ago, and Chris said, Jewish producer Chris said, he looked at me right in the face, and he said, Jesse, do you want to do a voicemail greeting? And I looked at him right back, and I said, why? Well, since we don't really take calls very often on the show, I think maybe we should do voicemails. And you always go with your first instinct, right? Because my first instinct was, Chris, you're fired. But then I backed off of that. And I thought to myself, no, maybe that's too extreme. I'll just go with, no, we won't do that. But then he kept bringing it up. Hey, you want to leave the voicemail? You want to leave the voicemail? And eventually I caved. And now we have this. Now we have to deal with your voicemails. So, either way, love, hate, death threats, you can email them, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and you can leave a voicemail. It can be light, it can be heavy.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
If you want to leave one of those, 877-377-4373. All right, we are going into the final segment. I know you're going to find this shocking, but there are a bunch of headlines I didn't get to from today, so hang on for that.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Don't forget, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can call, leave us a voicemail. That's fine, too. Did you see this on MSNBC? Do you remember how many times we've talked about how the communist tries to break families? And he will succeed in breaking many, many families. This happened all over the Soviet Union, China, East Germany. They focus on breaking families, breaking children away from their parents, shattering that bond, those values, because a nuclear family unit is the building block of a happy, prosperous country. If you have a country full of nuclear family units intact, without knowing anything else about the government, the location, that country is probably going to be just fine. And if you have a country where that stuff is shattered, then it creates misery and chaos, and that's how the communist gains power. So they try to break up families, try to ensure that the highest loyalty is always to the state. One guy, his father was one of the January 6th political protesters the government has gone after. One of the saddest segments I've heard, he went on MSNBC to talk about.
Well, the tip actually came in from before January 6th. My dad was getting way more radicalized as time went on, following Trump and isolating himself more and more, and it was terrifying.
What were some of the signs you saw?
He's watching all...
Listen to them. What are the signs you saw before you made the decision to turn in your father?
Sorts of media that was terrifying. He isolated himself to online groups that were far right, radical, and he was growing more and more violent, not to just the family, but to the people around him. And it scared me.
And then when you saw it January 6th, how soon after did you realize your father was involved that you had to act further?
It was while they were pointing guns at the doors of the house.
You saw him there?
He was texting my mom and FaceTiming her, and it was delusional.
And did you have any hesitation about going further? I mean, he is your father, but as you say, you saw him there with guns, and prosecutors said he lit the match of January 6th.
Of course. It was the hardest decision I've ever made, and it continues to haunt me to this day. But, you know, I don't regret it, and I still feel for him and my family.
Why is that pink-haired freak in your child's fourth grade class? Why is the teacher, why is she so adamant about turning your child gay? Why? Why does she talk so often about abortion in a loving way? Why does she have a Black Lives Matter flag in the classroom? Why do these states, why do they even pass laws saying they can do things to your child, help your child transition without having to notify you? Why? Breaking your child away from you is not some tiny side project of the American communist. It is one of the main missions of the American communist. You see your child as a wonderful, God-breathed soul who hopefully you can raise into being a happy, productive adult. The American communist sees your child as a future foot soldier in their revolution if they can only break them away from you. It's why the Stasi did it, the NKVD did it, the KGB did it, the Red Guard did it. It's every single place communism has ever taken hold, they've managed to shatter the family home in some instances and turn children against their parents. They'll turn husband against wife, wife against husband. Parents will turn in children. It's not just a one-way street, you should know. Parents will turn in their children. Remember your dad when he wouldn't let you visit during COVID because you didn't wear enough masks? Yeah, something to remember. Also, remember when I was talking about Mark Cuban? We have time for this, Chris. Do I still have time to slip this in? Remember when I talked about Mark Cuban last? Remember when I said this? I have no idea what's going on specifically with Mark Cuban. Wouldn't pretend to know. But it applies to way more than just him. It's just a good general rule you should keep in mind for the future. When you see a member of the elite, actor, actress, CEO, athlete, I don't care who it is, not having a political opinion you don't like, that happens. But when they go way too far, when they go way over the top, either they have a financial interest they need the government's help on, or they're being blackmailed. They need protection. You know what Mark Cuban said to Elon Musk today? You want to talk about proving the old oracle right? You want to talk about really exposing what your motivations are? Elon Musk said something about getting Trump elected, and Mark Cuban said, Elon, There will come a time when you need something from Donald Trump. You will think you have earned the right to ask and receive. You have been a loyal, faithful soldier for him. You have supported him politically with tens of millions of dollars. Then, at the point you need him the most, you will find out what so many before you have learned. His loyalty is only to himself. Remember when we had that talk? Yeah. Mark, we all see. Also, I hope you've seen about Relief Factor. Have you seen the reviews? I talk about Relief Factor all the time. The natural way to take care of that pain in your life. Not mask it. Not ignore it. Natural way to take care of it. Go look it up. You know, they sell these three-week quick start kits. You're supposed to take it for 3 weeks, every day for 3 weeks, and watch the pain disappear. But that's it. It's just a three-week kit. It's $19.95. So how do they stay in business? Well, almost everyone calls and orders more. Why do you think that is? Get the pain out of your life. You don't have to sit and live with that nagging, soul-sucking pain that you're struggling with every day. Stop. Try Relief Factor. Let them at least turn it down. It might even turn it off. Call them. 800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or go to relieffactor.com. Drug-free. Fight pain naturally. Take care of your pain naturally.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Cost of illegal immigration equivalent to the 36th largest economy in the world. It's $451 billion per year. That was just released by the House Republicans. You should know that number is incredibly low. Yeah, that's right. We have imported the third world. We now pay for the third world while you can't pay for groceries or rent. Beijing exploits climate agenda in effort to make the U.S. more vulnerable to China. Yes, while China builds a new coal plant every 5 minutes, they fund huge numbers of left-wing commie activists here attacking our energy sector. I wonder why that is. Oh, speaking of which, Biden-Harris give $55 million to a green energy company linked to a pro-Kamala ad campaign. Once again, a reminder, we fund our own destruction. I will be back tomorrow to do it again. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.